There are so many Bible verses that speak Christmas to us. Traditional Christmas accounts in Luke, like we just heard, and in Matthew, Luke's first chapter tells us the babe to be born will have a kingdom that will never end, that nothing is impossible with God. Our reading this evening, we hear fear not, and good news, and great joy, and all people. Angels sang glory to God, shepherds told all who would listen, Mary pondered in her heart. In Matthew's gospel, the angel tells Joseph, you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. And his name will be Emmanuel, God with us. This morning we heard the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. We find verses outside of the Gospels. Galatians says, when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law. God told Isaiah, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. His name shall be Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. I love all those verses, but the one that's my favorite, at least right now, is John 3:16. It's like, wait, is that even about Christmas? He said that to Nicodemus. He wasn't talking about his birth. No, but he was talking about our birth and talking about being born again. He was talking about what God did and what we need to do to be born again. And it doesn't matter how many Christmases you celebrate, if you aren't born again, you don't get to heaven. John 3:16 contains four things. I think they're very Christmassy. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish but have eternal life. And so the first thing is love. For most people, Christmas is a time of love. It is a time to be loved and to show love. And I know this isn't the case for everyone, but most people can look back on a childhood with their Christmas and recount love. Love in carefully prepared meals. Love in wonderfully decorated packages. Love in the mess of all the open packages. The love of parents for children and children for parents and grandparents and other family members. Sometimes Christmas is hard because we think of someone that we've lost that we loved. And some folks don't have good childhood memories. There are a lot of reasons Christmases might have been miserable for them. And for, I'd like to encourage you. Instead of looking back and feeling bad about the Christmas season, look around. And if you regularly attend church with us, you have a church that loves you. If you don't attend here, we'd love for you to make us your church and give us the opportunity to show you the love of Christ. And look up. No matter what kind of life you have had, God loves you with an everlasting love. You know, we have a new and powerful telescope in space that continues to send us amazing, breathtaking pictures of our universe. I just shared this last week about the Christmas tree cluster, the NASA picture that they had discovered this star cluster in the Milky Way, and it looks kind of like a Christmas tree. The deeper we look, the more we see God's handiwork, we find it is only more beautiful and brilliant. And God's love is like that. The deeper you look, the more you will find. You can't exhaust it. God can't love you any more than he already does. And you can't do anything to make him love you any less. You're already maxed out on God's love. And so I pray that you open your eyes to it. We are able to measure the Father's love to an extent because he gave us something that was most precious to him, and that's Jesus. That's the second place in this verse I see Christmas. God gave. Christmas is a season of gifts, and God gave us his best. One year when I was a kid, I tried to make my younger sister a Christmas gift. And I wanted to make her a chair for her Raggedy Ann doll. I may have been all of 10 years old. And so I dug through scrap wood in the garage, used a handsaw, started nailing pieces of wood together. Well, it was about what you would expect from a kid. No power tools. They wouldn't let me touch those. It looked pitiful. It was wobbly and crooked. And if you think I'm going to say, but my sister loved it because it was from my heart, no, I'm not. Heart love was in it, but it didn't have the capacity to do it well. But my dad, who could pretty much fix and make anything, saw me struggling with it and asked what it was all about. And when I told him what I was doing, he made a little doll chair for Raggedy Ann, but it was with my help, my participation. And it was better than anything that you could have bought at a department store. And so the gift was a heart gift, but it was also an enduring gift. It didn't fall apart within a week like it would have if I'd given her the scraps that I nailed together. Our Father's gift is a heart gift. It is given out of His deep, deep love for us. It is also the most valuable and lasting gift God could have ever given us. And we have to remember this gift from God, it's not a loaner. God gave His Son. The virgin-born babe from the manger grew up and gave His life. Jesus said, greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. That's the gift God gave us. I can't imagine anyone turning away a priceless gift given from a pure, loving heart. And yet His own people rejected Him, and people today refuse to come to Him and be saved. They could be part of whosoever, but they don't see the love or the value in the gift. Faith is the third Christmas element in this verse. Whosoever believes. The emphasis at this point is believe. It is a time of year when some people are more open to hearing about faith in Jesus. It's a time of year that we perhaps are more able to express that faith. You know, so much about Christmas is believing. But unfortunately, in today's world, it's not about believing in Jesus. Others make it about believing in the good in people's hearts or believing something magical happens. But Jesus was pretty clear when He said, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through Me. And so make sure our faith is firmly centered on Jesus. In our children, nurture their faith. Make sure their eyes are on Jesus and not on an elf, because Christmas is about Jesus. I know people want the love. They want peace on earth and goodwill toward men. They want the gifts, but they don't want Jesus. And so they'll come up with other reasons to celebrate. They just don't get it. So many questions and so many doubts. One of my favorite gifts as a child, when I was young, I received a .22 rifle. And I really wanted that. I really wanted a rifle. I mean, and I thought I might be getting a rifle. When all the gifts had been opened, there was no rifle. And I was kind of bummed. And then I hear, wait, there's one more gift here. And as my dad pulls it out from the back, way back underneath the tree, at least it looked that way. I can't imagine that we left something under the tree. I had three younger brothers and sisters, and we wouldn't leave anything. But he made it look like at least there's, it has your name on it, Mike, but it was a small box. And there was no way there was a rifle in that box, but I still opened it, probably not as enthusiastically as I should have. And when I opened it, inside was a note, and it said, go look behind the drapes. And when I looked behind the drapes, yeah, there it was. And I looked at that little package, and I knew there couldn't be a rifle in it. And I think there are too many doubters. And they look at Jesus and they say, how can something so wonderful be in that package? You have to have faith. You have to believe God can and did do what he said he did. You have to trust that God is good and he wants what is best for you. Believe he will never forsake you or leave you or lie to you. And so when God says, if you believe in that little baby born of Mary, that it's the gift from heaven that grew into a man, and believe that he lived the perfect life and died on the cross to pay for your sins and rose again to eternal life, you'd better believe it. God did the work. God did the giving and the living and the dying and the rising. We just have to believe. And the final part is life. You will not perish, but have eternal life. Jesus said, I have come that they may have life and have it abundantly. He gave us eternal life, and he did it by stepping into our lives. How could Jesus sympathize with us, or identify with us, or understand us? I mean, he's never missed a mortgage payment. He'd never fought cancer. He's never been cheated or cheated on. But Jesus took on our life. Somehow, God did manage to get into a little baby. And there's nothing more pro-life than God choosing to grow in Mary's womb. God born with little bitty fingers and toes. God in flesh, crying from hunger or discomfort. Mary and Joseph kissing his forehead, but also cleaning up his messes. Changing him, Mary nursing him, rocking him to sleep. Jesus knows childhood and adolescence and adulthood. He knows rejection and poverty and homelessness. He knows pain and separation to a degree that none of us will ever experience. He lived in the extremes of our life and did it without sin so he could give us life. We have all had hardships in our lives. We felt rejection. We shed tears. Dealt with pain and sorrow we didn't think we could get through. Jesus did more. And then on top of that, he tells us, come to me. Give me your burdens. My back is strong enough to carry what you have. Trade it in for my easy yoke that I can give you, and I will give you life. I admit it's hard to fully comprehend how it all works. Oh, it isn't without evidence. I believe the Gospels to be historically trustworthy. I think that the evidence of design in our universe points to our Creator Jesus, who spoke the world into existence. I trust God's revelation of himself to us in the Scriptures. How it all exactly works, God knows. And so we fall back on faith. If we could fully understand God, then we would be God. And I guarantee I'm not, and neither are you. I think it's my favorite Christmas verse because it gives and shows the greatest love, giving the greatest gift, which leads to the greatest life. And it is a gift anyone can have. Maybe when you were young, your parents were well off and could afford to get you about any gift you wanted. And so you thought Christmas was great. And maybe Christmas just didn't work out very well for you. Well, the gift God gives is so priceless that no amount of money or effort can buy it. His love for you is so pure, nothing can tarnish it. And the gift is so freely given that no amount of poverty can keep you from it. It is there for whosoever would believe. And the life that he gives endures beyond this mortal world. The life God gives is a sure thing when you receive it by faith. Peter wrote in his epistle, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Through his great mercy, he has given us new birth, and that new birth comes by faith, into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. All of this because God came as a little baby, born in a stable in Bethlehem, over 2,000 years ago.